ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Excellent Talent Voiceover Podcast. And with me in glorious stereo technicolor is Mr. Pete Nottage.
Hello.
Pete, tell us about yourself. If you were Troy McClure introducing yourself on The Simpsons, from where might we remember you?
You might remember me from continuity, from Channel 4. That's probably where the majority of people will have heard me. The voiceover for Six Music, just saying Six Music in a variety of ways, and various other things as well.
Do your friends recognise you when they hear you?
Every now and then, when I'm on Channel 4 doing the continuity, I get text messages from my friends saying, "You're talking on my telly." And I think, I know. Twitter's the big thing, actually. There are people online talking about something you've just said and you've never met them, and it's just very hard to kind of comprehend.
Has that ever come back to bite you? Have you ever got in... Because you're a cheeky chap. Have you ever said anything naughty and got in trouble for it?
There's plenty of things that I have said in the past that I've thought, if they find out about it, then I'm going to get into trouble. And recently, we had a programme about the man with the 10-stone testicles. And so I was introducing it and said, let's ask him how it's hanging. And the programme started and I thought, oh, this is actually quite a sensitive programme that I've just ruined. Obviously, because everything is completely live. Every time I'm in the studio, and this has happened, I've done it for nearly 10 years now, and every single time I've opened that mic, a little voice in the back of my head says, "You're live. You could say shit now." And as soon as that is planted in the back of my head, I'm very aware that anything can happen. It is possible to get quite a bit of cabin fever when you're doing, I don't know, 4 or 5 days on the trot. If it wasn't for the fact that the building is full of other people doing exactly the same thing, it would be very easy to go absolutely crazy. You're literally just sitting there for, you know, 12 hours talking once every hour or half an hour or whatever for 20 seconds. But still, after the end of a big run, you need a day of doing nothing.
And what are you doing in between those? What are you, during those half hours, are you writing tomorrow's scripts?
You're constantly writing ahead. You're writing the following day. You're watching the programmes and you're getting the notes for it and everything like that. In reality, yeah, Facebook, make a cup of tea, check Facebook again. You can't really leave the booth while the programmes are on. This is why continuity is live, just in case a programme falls off the air or if there's a major news event, you need to be there. I remember a few months ago we had a stand-up to cancer evening, and for 20 minutes all the output just fell off the air. The picture went first, then the sound disappeared, and then we lost all communication with the production company and we had no idea what was going on. So I was putting the microphone up and apologising, and I had some pre-prepared script saying, well, this is a terrible thing, blah, 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 and if you want to donate, you can still do this. And then I burnt through all my pre-prepared scripts in about 2 minutes, I'd say. And for the rest of the time, I was just riffing. I think I said if people can move on to Channel 4 HD, they could see exactly the same thing as they're currently watching, but in glorious high definition.
That's tough. That's voiceover hell. Well, I tell you what, Pete, what's voiceover heaven for you? What's your dream voiceover job?
You know what? Just being in a studio with a bunch of nice people. Someone that's not too officious with what they want. They can work with you really easily and doesn't use any of these fluffy words. I once had someone who said, "We like what you did there, but could you make it sound a bit more orange?" You know what I mean?
So you've been a busy bee recently. Season 3 of Outback Truckers for Discovery.
Oh, that's a good gig. You watch it and you see the relationship they have between themselves and their trucks and things and all the things that could go wrong. And it's just brilliant. I think my most used line in that program is, "But there's a problem." And that happens every single week. And in the world of trucking, anything can and does go wrong. It's brilliant.
You're also a bit of a TV presenter. You've done stuff. Tell us about Smart Car, because that looked like a fun gig.
Oh, Smart Car was great. There was a phone call from a German production company that said, "Do you want to go around Europe in a smart car interviewing local DJs, fashion designers, musicians, cool people? Do you want to do all that and we'll give you money?" And I said, "Yes, please." It just went all over the world, actually. Went to Toronto, Berlin, Paris, Frankfurt, Zurich, Amsterdam, anywhere and everywhere. In essence, it was a smart car that was filled with cameras. They called it the smallest studio in the world. I'd get in, drive around, pick people up, interview them. It was so much fun. Rome was my first city, and I hadn't driven a car in 6.5 years, and so I don't think I was paying attention to anything apart from the road in front of me. I think it was the first day we were filming, and I'd stopped at some traffic lights, and a bus came round, knocked my wing mirror off, and then just went off into the distance, and I was slightly hyperventilating. So I'd love to do Rome again, just to experience it properly.
Well, I mean, that sounds like an extremely fun format. You're working on some formats of your own as well, aren't you? Tell us about A Curious Man.
It's kind of a mixture of a bit of fun, but also has to do with my curiosity about the world. Just fascinating 5-minute videos on things that you might not know about the world and history and science. For instance, I was in the pub one night, and the conversation, as it does after a few drinks, came to the subject of, has anyone, do you reckon, in history ever tried to breed a human with a monkey? So I went away and I Googled it and thought, actually, there is some quite detailed experiments that involved trying to make the human race and monkeys. And from that, The Curious Man's Guide was born. So I think it's had views in the tens of thousands, which is very nice.
I have to say, I saw the one about Mr. Kellogg last night. It put me right off my cornflakes.
It really would. It really would. And that's the fascinating thing. Mr. Kellogg thought that all the ills in the world were down to self-pollution, should we say.
Right.
And so he invented cornflakes as a way to take people's minds off onanism.
He didn't want people to spill anything other than milk.
No, he didn't actually want milk originally. It was meant to be dry cornflakes, no sugar in there, with water. Milk and sugar were added by his brother, who was Will Keith Kellogg, and two brothers never spoke again after that because of milk and sugar, the work of the devil.
I really think it's got wings, this idea. I think it's a great project, and I really wish you the best of luck with it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Look forward to seeing your face on our telly boxes very soon. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. You can follow us on Twitter at Excellent Talent, and don't forget, you can always check out our website, excellenttalent.com, to hear Pete's voiceover showreels and see what else he's been up to on the news page.